All right, brethren, let's go back now to John 14. Let's look at our text one more time. John 14. Now, the Lord is going to the cross, and he said, verse 4, "Whither I go, ye know, and the way you know." Whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And we're looking at this subject of Christ being the way. Christ is the way. No man cometh to the Father but by me, he said. We saw that he is God's ordained way. We need Christ because we fell in sin and we have a sin nature, and God's holy. And God ordained, before the world was made, he ordained Christ to be the way. We saw that he's the only way. He's the one and only way. He said, "No man cometh to the Father but by me." And then the third thing we saw is Christ is the new and living way. He entered in by his own flesh with his own blood, and he entered into God's presence in heaven in the holiest of holies, and he's our high priest over the house of God. He consecrated the way for his people by putting away our sin, by bringing in everlasting righteousness for us, by making us to be reconciled to God. And so we have boldness to enter the holiest of holies by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated up for us through the veil, that is to slay his flesh. We have a high priest over the house of God, so we can draw near. Our bodies have been washed, our hearts have been purified, and we can come to God through faith in Christ, through the intercession of our great high priest. Now, the fourth thing I want to show you, and I want you to turn to Isaiah 35. Turn to Isaiah chapter 35. The Lord Jesus is the holy way. He is the holy way. Isaiah 35, and in verse 5, he says here, he's talking about what he will do in this gospel day, and he said, "The eyes of the blind shall be open." That's us by nature, blind in sin. By his Spirit, the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. That's all a shadow, a picture of when the Lord regenerates us and gives us faith in Christ. Now, verse 8, "And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein." Now, chosen sinners that have been redeemed by Christ, have been called by Christ, are made holy. They're made holy by the Lord. They're made holy by the Lord. We're sanctified into the way. We're set apart into Christ the way. We're made clean, made pure, and we're translated into the way by the Lord. The way is Christ, and we're sanctified, separated, and into Christ, made holy by Christ. Now, God the Father sanctified us. He separated us into this way, into Christ the way, by divine election. When he chose us in Christ, he separated us from all other people on the face of this earth in that he chose us in Christ. And then we saw in Hebrews 10, when our Lord Jesus Christ came and laid down his life, all those the Father had sanctified in him, he perfected forever by his one offering. He went to the cross and he perfected us forever before God. When you behold Christ, he was holy, perfectly holy, without sin, and he perfectly fulfilled the righteousness of the law for his people. And in Christ, we were perfected. We did what Christ did with a perfectly holy heart, fulfilling the law in perfect righteousness, and died to sin. And that's how God sees us as our representative head, Christ Jesus. He's our holiness and our righteousness. Now, how we enter into this, how are we going to be in this way? How do you and I come experimentally to be in the way, in Christ? It's by the Spirit of God regenerating us. And when he regenerates us, he creates a new holy man within us. That's the real you who are born of God. The real child of God who's born of God is entirely the creation of our Lord Jesus. It is that new man created within you by the Spirit. And Christ is that highway. He is that holy way into which we've been translated and separated and into. Now, he says here, the unclean shall not pass over this way. The unclean shall not pass over this way. We don't make ourselves clean, holy. We don't make ourselves holy in order to enter into Christ the way. That's not how that's not how you enter Christ the way of holiness. We only enter the holy way when the Spirit of God has created a new holy man within us. When he's created a new spirit born of the irresistible power of God the Holy Spirit. And Ephesians 4 tells us that this new man, after God, in God's image, is created in righteousness and true holiness. That is, what I just declared, it's the righteousness of Christ who fulfilled the law for us, and it's the holiness of Christ. When Christ enters in spirit, he is the holiness of the new man. He's how you have a new man that is holy within you. It's by Christ. And when he does this, God makes us meet. He makes us fit to be partakers of the inheritance with the saints in light by this work. He makes us holy, and in Christ this holy way. And Christ Jesus is our holiness. Now go to Colossians 1. I want you to see that this is how that we're brought into this way, and this is how we're made holy, is entirely of the Lord. Colossians 1:12. He says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. That is, fit to enter into glory. Like that thief on the cross that day, the Lord said, you will be with me today in paradise. How could he enter into God's holy presence? Because Christ had made him holy. He's born of God. There was a new holy man. His flesh was going back to the dust, and it was going to perish. But that new spirit, holy, would enter in. He was meet to enter in right then because Christ was his holiness. Now, God would raise his body, and he would enter in with a perfect holy body. But he was fit to enter in. Look, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And this is true, just like he translated us from the power of darkness into his kingdom. He translated us from the power of darkness into Christ, the way of holiness, into Christ, the way. And so, for the first time, we can believe on the Lord. We couldn't before. Our sin nature dominated us. It was enmity against God, and we couldn't believe him. Now he's given you faith to believe him, and you can believe him. Now you hate your sin. Now you see your sin, and you realize sin's the enemy. Sin's the enemy. You know, it doesn't make you want to wink at sin and play around with sin. You hate sin. You do hate sin. And you begin running this race, going in this highway, in this way of holiness, looking to Christ. And there's something so significant about that, because this is how the heart is kept pure, is through faith in Christ, through looking to Christ. And he, communing with our heart, keeps your heart clean. He keeps you believing him and able to follow him and able to walk after him. And we're running that race looking to him, because he's the author and finisher of our faith. Now, what happens when sins beset us? What happens when sin would turn us out of the way? He's the way. So that's what sin's doing. Every time that we're tempted to sin, or we do sin, whether it's thought, word, or deed, what is that doing? That is turning us out of Christ's way. That's turning us out of Christ's way. We're departing from him who is our holiness, from that holy way. And our Lord tells us, when he quickens you and he gives you a new heart, he teaches you that he's made you new. And so don't fashion yourself after your former lusts. But he says, but because I'm holy, be ye holy. In all manner of conduct, be ye holy. And that's the heart he gives you. That's what you really want to do. And you endeavor to do it. You strive to walk after holiness. You really do. But when you are beset by your sin, when that happens, they shall not overcome us. When we look at times in the scriptures where God's saints sinned, and we looked at David, and he went down and stayed a year in enemy land, and just the different sins we see, Lot going down and into Sodom and vexed constantly by the inhabitants of Sodom. That's not to say, well, it's okay to sin. You know, David sinned, so we'll just sin. That's not what we're saying. We look at that because it's through seeing how God dealt with his saints in the past that he deals with us in our heart. It's through hearing how his grace continued to save his people when they were beset by their sin that God quickens you in your heart, purges your conscience, cleans that defiled conscience, and keeps you looking to Christ and going after Christ. That's why we preach Christ as all in the gospel, because it's through this word that he's going to wash us by the Spirit of God. And so when our sins beset us, they won't overcome us, because God gives more grace. This thing is all of grace from beginning to end, and he keeps giving more grace. He keeps granting his child repentance. When we've sinned, and you know this, when you've sinned, and then the Lord quickens you and renews you and brings you to see him and remember what he's done for you, and that's what makes you sinful to you. And when he makes you see that he has put your sin away, that you will not die, that you haven't fallen out of his favor, that he's going to keep you, and that Christ really is your righteousness, and that's when you discover, that's when you enter into this thing that Christ really is your holiness too, because it's Christ keeping your heart pure. It's Christ keeping you looking to him. You know, whenever he talked about the chastening of the Lord in Hebrews 12, the reason the Lord chastens us, there's one reason. There's one reason. We're in the way. We're in the way of holiness. We're in Christ. And when we are beset and turn out of the way, the reason he chastens his child is one reason: to turn you back into the way and keep you partaking. Scripture says, keep you partaking of his holiness. Of his holiness. And that's when you realize, when you're so weak, and you see your sin, and you're so cast down, and he may let you go through a very long season of a trial to where he's showing you he's your strength. He is the one who's sustaining you. Just as he's the one who forgave you and put away your sin by his blood, it's his blood also through the gospel and through him quickening you in your heart that keeps your heart purified to see your sin and to walk after him and to repent and to keep going after him. This is all of our Lord, brethren. And as he continues to pardon you, as he forgiveth us ongoing of our sin, and he keeps you despite our falls, he keeps us by that, knowing Christ really is our sanctifier and he is our sanctification. Everything that's coming to pass in this world is under his direct rule, under his direct control. And our Lord, as our reigning prophet, priest, and king, has no problem turning his child back to him and keeping us walking after him. And you see by that, he's the one who perfected you on the cross. He's the one by whose spirit you were sanctified, translated out of the power of darkness into this holy way. And he's the one that keeps you partaking of his holiness. And that's that. Sanctification becomes not anything like what you might have been taught by men who made it all hinge upon you. It becomes really and truly to you, you realize this is all of the Lord. It is of the Lord. And it has to be, or I would get some glory. You would get some glory. It has to be all of him. He's the one who separates us, sanctifies us out into him, and he is that sanctification. He is that holiness that we need to enter into God's presence. It's him dwelling in your heart. You know, we saw this in the Old Covenant. When that cloud, the Shekinah glory, when it entered that tabernacle was sanctified. It was holy. And, you know, whenever the Lord appeared to Moses in the burning bush, he said, put your shoes off your feet. This is holy ground. What made it holy? Christ's presence. And wherever his presence is, that's the holiness. That's what makes you holy. It's him. And so he keeps you separated unto him. And just like he did in the first hour, you know that when he first regenerated you and gave you faith, created this new heart in you, you know, you were so careful, you were so diligent, you wanted to walk after Christ, you wanted to honor Christ. Do you remember that when he first gave you faith, and you really had this notion, we were like the apostles, we had this notion we weren't going to sin anymore. We were going to follow him, and there wasn't going to be any sin. And soon you found out that wasn't going to be the case. But when he works this work again, though, it makes you all over, all anew, diligent to want to guard yourself and to follow him and to really honor him in what you do. And the more powerful the chastening and the more powerful he works grace, the more that's the case. The more that's the case. And this is, you know, you don't excuse sin, and sin's not, there's no excuse for sin, period. But this is why the Lord has left us in these bodies of sin. This is why he would even permit his child to fall, is because by him keeping you and by him sustaining you, this is all part of how he's growing you in the grace of Christ and in the knowledge of Christ. This is how he's making you see that he's your holiness and you're entirely, entirely, entirely dependent upon him. Now, here's the next thing. So he's our holiness. Now, the way of holiness. Now, the Lord Jesus, because this is all true, he's the safe and secure and joyful way. He's the safe way, the secure way, the joyful way. Look here back at Isaiah 35 again, and look at verse 9. Isaiah 35:9. He says, no lion shall be there. Not in this holy way, not in this highway we're traveling. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. No lion, no ravenous beast, can harm us in the way. In Christ, this way of holiness. No lion, no ravenous beast. The devil goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And our Lord may permit him to sift you. He did that to Job. He did that to Peter. He did it to David. He's done it. We've seen it throughout the scripture. He may permit the devil to sift you, but the devil is not going to harm you. He can't. Christ won't permit it. He will not permit it. What do you mean? Something may happen to your body. Something may happen to us outwardly that causes us trouble, causes us, you know, some sorrow, what have you. But that's not doing any damage to that new man Christ has created. It's not doing any harm to the real you. It's, in fact, edifying you, because the Lord's teaching you He is your righteousness and your refuge and your protection and your security. We have our great shepherd who's leading us and guiding us and protecting us. And so it says there, the ransomed of the Lord, or the redeemed of the Lord, those he's purchased, they walk there. That's so important. The scripture says that the believer doesn't make haste. We're not wildly alarmed. Yes, we in our flesh, we get anxious and we get afraid and those things. But the Lord, by his Spirit, by him being this one who enters in spirit and points you to him, he calms you. So you walk. You don't make haste. You're not terrified. You walk. You walk there. There's a calm that he gives in the heart. So he's the way. He's the safe way. He's the secure way. He purchased his people with his precious blood. Here's the security. He purchased us with his blood. We're his possession. And it cost him too dearly to let you be separated out from him and be lost back into the world. His glory is connected with our salvation. His glory is in the salvation of his people. He's showing who he is and the glory of how he's the wisdom and the righteousness and the holiness and the redemption of his people, how he's all in and all to his people. His glory is connected with our salvation. He's not going to let any to pluck you out of his hand. God wrote the names of every chosen child in the Lamb's Book of Life before this world was ever made. And he's not going to let anybody draw you away from Christ and perish in perdition. He's going to keep you believing to the saving of the soul. He who begins a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ entered into a covenant promise with the Father. And here's what he promised the Father. He promised that he was going to present each one the Father gave him faultless in the presence of his glory. And our Lord Jesus Christ promised the Father that. Do you think he's going to make good on that promise? In order to do that, in order to make good on that promise, he's got to keep you and bring you to him. And that's what he's going to do. He's going to stand before the Father one day with all those the Father gave to him in eternity. They're going to be redeemed. They're going to be faultless. They're going to be robed in his righteousness. They're going to be complete in his perfection. And he's going to stand there before the Father, and he's going to say, these are those that thou hast given me, and of those you gave me, I lost none. That's how safe and secure this way is. It's in Christ. Now, due to our sin and our unbelief, we may become wounded, but not spiritually, not in the inner man. He's the great physician, and the balm of Gilead, he will pour in, and he will strengthen his people in spirit. He's forgiven all our sins, and he's going to heal all our diseases. We just read it. When he sends you through the deep water and he sends you through the fiery trial, it's not to consume you. It's to consume our dross and to refine the gold. And that's what he's going to accomplish. We're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Why do you say this? Why do you tell sinners this? And why not just give them a bunch of A, B, C, and D and things to do? Because this is, it's the message of Christ and what he's doing and what he's working that is the message he blesses to the hearts of his people and keeps us looking to him and keeps us strengthened in heart to want to walk after him and to honor him in all our conduct. Is that not so? Isn't it the message of the gospel that he blesses to strengthen you and make you say, I don't want to sin against him. I want to follow him. I want to know more of him. And it's this safety and security that he's promised to his people. It doesn't make you presume upon his sovereignty. It doesn't make you presume upon this security. It makes you hug up closer to him. It makes you want to draw nearer and walk nearer to him. It gives you the strength in the inner man to mortify the deeds of your flesh and put off the sins of your flesh. Now, because Christ is this safe and secure way, he's the joyful way. This way of holiness is the joyful way. He says there in verse 10, Isaiah 35:10, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Do you remember what Moses said? He said, blessed are you, O Israel. Happy are you, O Israel. Who is like to you, O people saved by the Lord? He's the shield of your help. He's the sword of your excellency. That's who Christ is. You know, the pursuits of an unregenerate world, they're going running after everything in this world for wealth and for honor and for applause and just get everything they can of this world, but there's no inward peace. There is no calm. There's no settled ease with an unregenerate sinner, not in his conscience. There's no hope of immortality one day with our Lord. There's always this nagging of past sins. There's always this nagging of the present sins that give them no rest. And there's always that future that causes anguish that they don't want to looking to the judgment of God, the fiery judgment of God. Men don't want to think about that. But there's no peace, there's no safety, there's no security, so there's no joy. There's no joy. But Zion's pilgrims, you who are just pilgrims in this world, who have been translated into Christ the way, you have some joy. You have some joy. Because you know all your past sins have been put away. You know your present sins have been put away. All sins in the future have been put away. You're just before God. God declares you're righteous. God, righteous God, holy God, declaring that you and I are righteous. What an amazing declaration. Why is that? It's all in Christ. It's all because of Christ. And that'll never change. That'll never change. And that you're not looking for a fearful looking forward to judgment. You have hope of immortality. You have hope of being with Christ. And here's the blessing of it. If it was dependent on something you did, there would always be something that would tear down every bit of hope you got. There would always be something that would be making you say, oh, I gotta do better today. I got to make up for that I messed up yesterday. And it's just a constant treadmill and no security. And that's what Christ came to free his people from, the devil's bondage of making you fear death and making you try to constantly make up for your sins by something you do. But you don't have that when the Lord has purged your conscience. You know you accepted in the Beloved. And this is the blessing. This is the joy for his people. We sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. And when you see Christ laying down his life on our behalf, and now you see him reigning, ruling, working everything for the good of his people, that's what makes us bless the Lord at all times and sing his praises continually in our mouth. We praise him because why? He brought us up out of the horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and he set our feet upon a rock, and he established our goings in this way. And he's going to keep them established. He's going to keep you established in the way, walking in him, following after him. Yes, we're going to sorrow. Yes, we're going to have times where we sigh and we sorrow. But isn't the joy, doesn't the joy of knowing Christ, doesn't it exceed the sorrow that you have in this world? I know that you know, there's always going to be this juxtaposition between our sighing and our sorrow over our sin and our rejoicing over Christ, our righteousness. But there's so much more joy. There's so much more to be rejoiced in than there is to be sorrowful over. So much more. But we don't sorrow even when we do sigh and sorrow. We don't as those that have no hope. You know, the Lord brings you into some trying situations. Do you find yourself saying this? Do you find yourself saying, I believe the Lord. He said he works all things together for the good of those that he loves. So I'm just eager to see how he's going to work this out. I know it's going to be good. I know it's going to be for my good. I'm going to say it's been good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. I just want to see. I'm just waiting. I want to see how he's going to work it out. That's the hope we have. We know he's going to work it out for good for his people. And so you wait on him and you rejoice in him. Now, here's the last thing. All of this being true, because all of this is so that we've seen, he's the ordained way. He's the only way. He's the new and living way. It's by his righteousness, by his holiness, entering into the holy place for us. He is the safe and secure and the joyful way. All of this being true, the holy way, that means he's the narrow way. He's the narrow way. Go with me to Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7. This is our Lord speaking. And here's what he said. Matthew 7 and in verse 13. Matthew 7, 13. He said, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Christ is the narrow way. He is the narrow way. He's the straight gate which leads unto life, which few find. Sinners in their natural state have no desire for this narrow way. They have no desire, much less, but they have no desire to come to God, much less in God's way. And even a natural born sinner that seeks a way, he's not seeking God's way. He's seeking that way that seems right to him, and it's the ways of man and ends in death. But here's the blessing of God's grace. When he has shown you what a blessing it is that it's just a remnant, few there be that find this narrow way, and the Lord's revealed him to you. The Lord's made you know him and puts you in the way, in Christ. And when he makes you see this, and see how undeserving you are, how you didn't merit this, how you demerited it a thousand times since he called you, this is what it does for you. This is what his grace does to you. It doesn't make you look down on those that are out of the way. It doesn't. It makes you want to have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way. So we say to those that are out of the way, we say to them what Moses said to his father-in-law. You remember this? In Numbers 10:29, Moses said to his father-in-law, we're journeying to the place of which the Lord has said, I will give it you. That's what Moses told him. We're going to the promised land. And that's what we can say to sinners who are out of the way. We're going to the promised land. We're in the way. Come with us. Come with us, and we will do you good. For the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. Come with us. That's our message. Christ says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, but straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads to life, and few there be that find it. Wouldn't that he would speak in power and cause somebody to enter into the way. That's what we want to see. It's what we pray for. It's what we hope for. How narrow is the way? How narrow is the way? He says it's narrow and it's straight. How narrow is it? How narrow is it? Christ said, I am the way. It's as narrow as Christ. You can't bring anything else. Nothing else can. He is the way. He's the way. No man comes to the Father but by him. So enter this way, believing on the Lord Jesus. Believe on him. And when God's made us receive Christ through faith, he said, as we receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. He's saying, walk by faith. Trust Christ. Believe Christ. Rooted and grounded and established in faith in Christ. And brethren, as Christ looked to the joy that was set before him, that's how he endured the cross. We got some crosses to endure. That this way is going to have some hills and valleys, some curves. We're going to stumble. We're going to have some sorrow and some sighing. But how did Christ endure the cross? He looked to the joy that was set before him. And he tells us, now you run this race looking to our Lord Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the joy set before us. He's the joy set before us. Run this race looking to him. He's everything we need. He's everything we need. His righteousness covers our heart like a breastplate. The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, is how he's going to slay our old man and renew our new man. His gospel is going to shod our feet with the gospel so that we can keep running after him, directing us, teaching us to follow him. Everything's of him. Everything we need is of him. So look to him and follow him. And there's just a few more miles. Just a few more miles to go. You know, when you're on a long trip and you just got a little ways to go, you start looking for the end and you start thinking, oh, we're almost there. We're almost there. We just got a few more miles to go. A few more hills, a few more valleys to go through. And this is what he says. He said, the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads, and they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrowing and sighing shall flee away. That's his promise. That's his promise. Believe him and follow him. Trust him. All right, brethren. Brother Greg, you come lead us in a closing hymn.